flipped. Everything had been relatively calm, until it suddenly wasn't. I'm pretty sure there's an anxiety lever somewhere, and someone cranked it to utter panic freakout mode. That someone is Patty. Patty, who has her laptop at the breakfast table, open to the 10-day forecast. They're saying scattered showers. We should get a tent, right? Just in case? Do you think we need one with full siding? It looks like that's an option, but we'd probably need to rent fans. Nadine boops Xavier on the nose and hands him a sippy cup. You don't want to just move everything inside if it rains? You think we can fit 35 people in this house? Cassie and I eat our cereal in silence. This is strangely like watching reality TV. I can almost picture Patty as a talking head, overlaid with an animated wedding veil and sound effects. And Cass, you need to get a dress or pants. You can't wear shorts to this. Who said I was wearing shorts? Cassie looks confused. Nadine shakes her head and shoots Cassie a tiny smile. Well, good. Don't do it. Patty exhales. Great. Okay. I just need to call the tent company. And Deanie, you talk to the caterers?
Yep, we're scheduled for Thursday.
Okay, we've got Olivia on photography. And I'd really like to pay her, by the way.
Cassie shrugs.
Yeah, she's not gonna let you.
Hey, pipes Nadine. Don't let her bring that Schulmeister kid. They're still broken up, right? Because I do not need my doorstep darkened by that little shit wiper on my wedding day. Nope to the nope.
Cassie covers her mouth, giggling. Anyway, maybe just talk to her about payment, if you don't mind. And Molly, you've got all the decorations under control, right?
Right.
She rubs her temple. I know I'm forgetting something. She looks at Nadine. What am I forgetting? Then she proceeds to sit down where there isn't a chair.
Mama, says Zave. Uh-oh.
Cassie and I exchange wide-eyed holy shit expressions.
Okay, I'm taking over, Nadine says. You?
She points to Cassie.
Deal with Olivia. And you?
She turns to me.
Centerpieces. And one of you needs to be ready to wrangle your grandmother. I don't need Betty stirring shit up.
Oh my God, Cassie says. Nadine, you're a stone-cold Zilla.
Damn straight.
Oh, Patty says. Molly, are you bringing the boy?
Wait, what?
Cassie asks. She turns to me, eyes glinting.
You can bring him, she says, rubbing her forehead. That's totally fine. I just need to know by Friday.
Cassie jabs me with her elbow. The boy? I bite back a smile.
The fuck, Molly?
I love these heartwarming family moments, Nadine says. Anyway, she turns to Patty. You're done. Go take a nap.
Patty nods dazedly and heads for the stairs. Nadine and Xavier head out to story time, leaving Cassie and me alone in the dining room. For a minute, neither of us speaks. Then Cassie looks at me.
There's a boy?
She asks. And there's something in her voice. Maybe wonder, maybe anger. I don't know. I shrug. I feel myself blushing.
How could you not tell me?
I don't know.
You don't know? Jesus, I'm your twin fucking sister.
I meet her eyes finally. Well, I didn't think we were on speaking terms.
Well, we weren't.
I laugh nervously.
Well, okay. But I'm over it, okay? We're talking. Tell me about the boy.
She slides her elbows forward, cupping her chin in her hands.
What do you want to know?
Cassie smiles and rolls her eyes.
Let's start with this. Who is he?
I blush.
Reed?
She laughs.
What? No, it's just the least surprising thing ever.
Oh.
So what's the deal? You guys kissed? He's your boyfriend? What?
Yes. I grin into my sleeve.
What?
She swipes my arm.
Wait, which one?
Both. Her mouth falls open. I swipe her back.
Stop looking so surprised. I'm not! I'm just excited. This is a huge deal, Mo.
She scoots closer to me and hooks an arm around my shoulders.
Holy shit! You have a boyfriend!
And you have a girlfriend.
I know. It's weird.
Then she rests her head on my shoulder and sighs. And for a moment, we just sit there.
God, I feel like we have so much to talk about, I say.
I squeeze my eyes shut.
Definitely, she says.
Then she lifts her head off my shoulder. When I open my eyes, she's staring down at the table, lips pressed together.
Okay, I want to say something to you,
she says after a moment. She slides her arm off my shoulders and wrings her hands together.
So, I don't know how to say this without pissing you off or hurting your feelings, but I need you to hear me out. I'm just going to put it all out there, okay?
My shoulder muscles tighten. I feel myself getting defensive, but I try to shake it off.
Okay?
She bites her lip and nods.
So, I feel like things have been kind of off between us since I started dating Mina.
I nod.
Right? I'm not imagining it.
I swallow. No?
And, like, I have to admit, it really pissed me off at first, because I could not understand why you couldn't just be happy for me.
I am, though. I'm so happy for you.
I know, but it's also like you think Mina's replacing you.
No, that's not... I look up at her.
I don't think that. But you said that, Cassie insists. At the party, you said I was ditching you for Mina.
Yeah, I exhale. I'm sorry. She shakes her head.
I'm not trying to make you apologize. I'm just saying, I think we should talk about this. I don't think this is just going to go away, you know? Maybe it will be better now that Reed's in the picture, but...
I shut my eyes. I don't know.
Honestly, it's getting to the point where everything I do, I'm worrying about how you're going to take it. Like, I don't want to be that person who gets into a relationship and ignores everyone else. We hate that person.
You're not,
and I'm trying really hard, you know? I feel like you don't give me any credit for that. I invite you to everything. The sleepover, the party, the fucking pottery place, everything.
I feel nauseated, and I don't know why.
You don't have to do that. I know!
She throws her hands up.
I know I don't, but I want to.
I don't want to be a person you have to tiptoe and walk on eggshells around.
No, Molly, you're not.
She shakes her head.
You're not. It's just, I'm having trouble balancing this. I'm not used to having another person be this important to me.
She's staring at her knees, tears pooling in her eyes.
And I don't want to lose us, you know?
I feel my eyes prickle, too. Everything's a little blurry. I can't seem to focus. I press my fist into my chin. I'm scared it's inevitable, I say finally.
What do you mean?
Growing apart? Look at Nadine and Aunt Karen.
Don't you think that's a little different? Aunt Karen is a homophobe.
No, I know, but still. I swallow. How many sisters do you know who are as close as adults as they were growing up?
Well, I don't know many adult sisters, Cassie says, smiling faintly.
You know what I mean, though. It's like, we used to tell each other all of this stuff. Who we liked, or hooked up with, or whatever. But then there's this shift. It's like our loyalties switch over, and the relationship becomes the main thing.
Okay, we haven't switched over our loyalties,
but we will. I take a deep breath. Even if it's not with Mina and Reed, eventually, it's the normal thing that happens. You don't marry your siblings.
Yeah, that would be a smidge incestuous, Cassie says.
Just a smidge. She laughs and then sniffs.
I mean, obviously you're right. Cassie says finally. And I guess that's kind of why I wanted the will thing to happen. Like, maybe if we dated best friends, it wouldn't be like that for us.
Right.
But Will's a no-go, huh?
I shake my head, smiling.
So, what do we do?
Cassie asks. I don't know. She sniffs again. I look over at her, and there are tears streaking down her cheeks.
Shut up. This is sad,
she says, smiling wetly. I know.
Change is fucking hard. It's fucking tragic.
Change can go fuck itself, I say, and I like how it sounds on my tongue. Fuck itself. It catches Cassie off guard. She laughs so hard she can barely catch her breath. And all of a sudden, I can't help but wonder, are the ancestors tuned into this moment? And do they get it? I bet they do. Because that's the thing about change. It's so painfully normal. It's the most basic of all tragedies. Sisters in the Paleolithic period probably felt shitty about this stuff. And it's weird how I can know this, but it doesn't make it hurt less. 28. Reed comes over on Wednesday to help me test my cake recipe. And I guess I can't really put it off any longer. I have to ask him to be my date this Sunday. But in a totally no-pressure kind of way. Because this doesn't have to be a thing. It's just a date. To a wedding. In which the brides are my parents. All right, no big deal.
Okay, it's 10:30 now.
He leans back against the fridge.
And I'm supposed to be at work by noon, so don't let me... Oof.
I kiss him so hard it sets off the ice machine. Oh, I say, and he laughs, catching me around the waist. This is still the strangest thing. Strange that I'm doing this. Strange that I survived not doing this. I don't know how I ever went 5 minutes without kissing, much less 32,000 minutes. But I like the way Reed kisses with his glasses on. I like the way my brain feels hazy. We probably shouldn't be doing this in the kitchen, especially because Cassie's home. She could walk in at any minute, which is horrifying, because I suddenly understand why Cassie got so mysterious about Mina. I can't explain it, but I get it. I kiss Reed again. Maybe if we keep kissing, I won't have to ask him to the wedding. He'll just know. He's probably expecting it anyway. Unless he's not. Unless he's thinking, whoa, I hooked up with this girl last week and now she wants to bring me to her parents' wedding? Hey, life, stop being so awkward. Reed pauses.
What was that beep?
Oh, the oven's done preheating. I exhale. I make myself step back. I am baking. I am baking a tiny cake and a bunch of cupcakes, and I should probably think about mixing the batter. At some point. Eventually. He kisses me again, softly.
Molly?
And oh, it's Olivia, wide-eyed in the doorway. I whirl around, brightly.
Hi!
My hand slides back, and an entire collection of dry measuring cups clatters to the ground. It is a very loud clatter, because it is very silent in here.
Oh,
she says,
I don't mean to interrupt.
You're not interrupting. I grin. I'm totally grinning. If I grin hard enough, I'll probably look super casual, and she'll know there's nothing suspicious going on here. She didn't actually see anything. She probably just imagined it, because I am so chill and casual right now. She stares at the ground.
Okay, well, Cass and I are going through some of your family photos to put on display, just in case you wanted to, you know, but I guess you're busy.
Oh, yeah, we're baking.
I can see that.
My entire face is burning. I didn't even know Olivia was here, much less in the doorway.
So, if you guys want to do photos... We'll just be in the dining room,
she adds. Okay, great,
I say quickly. Her eyes flick up to Reed and back down to me.
Great. Well,
she's gone before I even say goodbye. I feel entirely unsettled. I head to the dining room as soon as Reed leaves, but all I find are a bunch of photographs. Cassie and Olivia are nowhere. I don't want to freak out about this, but here's the thing. Even if Reed isn't into Olivia, I have no idea how Olivia feels about Reed. I guess I'm feeling very tender toward her all of a sudden, even though a week ago I was dreaming about throwing things at her face. A week ago, Molly was kind of a shitty person. I have to make this right. I take a deep breath and text her. Hey, are you still here? Nothing. Nothing. And then three dots.
Hey, in Zave's room with C. You guys should come up here.
God, she thinks Reed is with me. That I would do that. That I would flaunt him like that.
Hey, Olivia, guess what? He's mine, he's mine, he's mine.
The thought alone makes me wince. I don't think I'm a he's mine kind of girl. I take the stairs slowly, my heart in my throat. Xavier's room is the size of a walk-in closet. Seriously, my mom's got him one of those train track area rugs from IKEA, and it covers his entire floor. When I open the door, Olivia and Xavier are building a tower out of blocks. Except that's entirely inaccurate. Olivia is building a tower. Xavier is destroying a tower.
Hey,
I say, scooping him into my lap. He wriggles out of my arms immediately. I'm really sorry I missed the photos.
It's cool. I hear you were busy.
Cassie waggles her eyebrows and Olivia snickers. They are the worst. Both of them. I grin into my fist and settle in next to Cassie, our backs against the crib. She leans toward me.
So, Reed's coming to the wedding, right?
Hopefully. I haven't asked him yet. I glance at Olivia, who looks as serene as ever.
Well, you better fucking get on that, Cassie says, and tell him I have to talk to him.
I narrow my eyes. About what?
About how if he breaks your heart, I'll castrate him. Just your basic protective sister shit.
She stands up, stretching.
Hold that thought. I've got to pee.
She shuts the door behind her. Olivia smiles up at me.
Molly, you have a boyfriend.
I need to not smile. This is not a moment for smiling. This is a moment for being as little of an asshole as humanly possible. This girl just got dumped by the likes of Evan Schulmeister. And now the guy she maybe likes is my boyfriend. I nod, carefully, staring at my knees.
I so called that.
You did? I looked up at her tentatively. Are you mad?
Why would I be mad?
Oh, God, I thought maybe you liked him. There's a sudden crash as Xavier topples a block tower. He looks from me to Olivia and back to me, lip trembling.
Buddy, you're the one who knocked it down.
I remind him. Sometimes you can trick Xave into not having a meltdown, but he collapses into Olivia's arms.
Oh, I don't, Olivia says. I mean, I like him as a friend, definitely. And I think he's cute. Like, he's really cute.
That is true. I bite back a smile.
Definitely cuter than Will, in my opinion.
She blushes. Oh, God. She likes him.
I'm really sorry,
I say quietly.
You shouldn't be. Please don't be sorry. Anyway, I already knew he was in love with you.
What? I stop short.
Every time I've hung out with him, all he did was talk about you.
I grin into the sleeve of my cardigan. Oh.
Yeah.
She smiles.
Seriously, I don't want to get in the way of that.
She squeezes Xavier's foot.
I really want this for you, Molly.
I think my brain has shut down. I can't think of a single thing to say. All I know is this. Olivia is definitely a better person than me.
Yeah, but I want you to be happy too, I say finally.
She shrugs.
I am. But I want you to be in love. With someone better than Evan. Anyone's better than Evan, she says.
Good point. And now I'm furiously matchmaking in my head. Obviously, Will's off the table, since Olivia doesn't even see his cuteness. And Max is kind of an asshole. But I'm curious about Douglas. Reed swears he exists. Olivia and the elusive Douglas. I know Reed ships it.
Have you?
I start to say, but Olivia cuts me off.
I know what you're thinking.
Olivia rests her chin on Xavier's head.
But I don't actually want a boyfriend right now.
Really?
Not even a little.
She smiles.
I turn it over in my head. I can't decide if this is funny or sad, but I've spent so much time wanting a boyfriend that I can't imagine not wanting one. I can imagine saying I don't want one, but I can't imagine it being true.
And maybe that's just me, a little broken after 26 rounds of unrequited love. Maybe this is a side effect.
29. Friday night. Deep breath. So I've been trying to ask you something for a couple of days now, but I can't seem to get the words out.
So I guess I'm doing this over text because I'm the actual worst.
Any chance you're free on Sunday? As in, the day after tomorrow?
Because there's this wedding I'm going to, and I kind of need a date.
30. But early, Saturday. The boyfriend replies.
Okay, I have an idea. Like a wedding idea. So you know those pendant things that look like shark teeth? People make cake toppers like that. They're held up by chopsticks. I didn't make this up. I found it on Pinterest. Why am I looking at Pinterest, Molly? What is this madness? I think I must miss you. Or maybe Pinterest is actually an adorable disease transmitted only through your saliva. Your adorable saliva. The adorable saliva of Molly Peskin Suso. That should be the title of your autobiography. Anyway, I know you're at the alterations place getting altered. But hopefully not too altered. I really like you unaltered. So, just know that. Also, I really think you should do this cake topper. In case this isn't clear, this is me saying yes. I am down for this wedding and anything else you want to bring me to, ever. Especially if cake is involved.
31. Unaltered? I write. Like an unspayed cat?
Oh no. I mean, yes, please don't get spayed.
I have a boyfriend who sends texts asking me not to get spayed. I don't think I'll ever get tired of Reed's weird mind. Ever. I'll try not to, I write. And then, I'm really glad you're coming. So, I'm not getting altered. I'm not even getting my dress altered. We're just here for my mom's, here being the bridal boutique alterations department. Cassie and I are on a velvet couch outside the changing room, surrounded by mirrors. I'm trying not to stare at myself. Patty steps out of the changing room and sighs.
Oh, God. See, now I don't know about the strapless.
Cassie raises her eyebrows. Isn't it a little late in the game for that?
You look perfect, Nadine says, smiling.
I don't look like a pale, boobless 48-year-old.
You do. Nadine kisses her. And I like it.
Cassie sinks into the couch cushions and covers her eyes.
Stop! Get a room. Get used to it, kitty cat, Nadine says.
She looks in the mirror, grins, and unbuttons her top button.
What do you think?
Perfect, I say. And they really are perfect. Nadine's wearing light gray pants and a white button-down from the groom section. I actually watched her tell a consultant that her priority was boob accessibility. Patty's boobs, on the other hand, are trapped behind epic amounts of Alençon lace. They're both so totally beautiful. I know it's weird to think that about your parents, but it's true. I can't believe they're getting married tomorrow. Nadine turns to me suddenly, eyes glinting.
So, Molly, are you bringing Reed to this thing?
Cassie turns to me and beams.
Your boyfriend, she adds. Just reminding you.
Boyfriend. Still not used to it. I grin into my fist. Through the mirror, I catch a glimpse of Patty and Nadine watching us. They look especially twinkly-eyed, and I can tell Patty's gearing up to say something. She's got that look. But she's intercepted by the bridal consultant for some last-minute stitching. Okay, this should be a thing. Like a service you can order. Someone to sweep your mom away at the exact moment she's about to say something awkward. Unfortunately, Nadine decides to carry the baton.
I want to hear more about this rad boyfriend.
Cassie giggles. I roll my eyes. Oh, he's rad.
I mean, I didn't even know this was in the pipeline, she adds.
Momo, you've been holding out on us. Didn't even know you liked anyone.
I knew,
Cassie says smugly. I feel warm all over.
Do we have to talk about this?
Aw, baby. I'm just happy for you. She squeezes onto the couch between Cassie and me and hooks an arm around each of us.
She's wanted a boyfriend for so long. So long, Cassie says.
I wrinkle my nose. Okay, that just makes me sound pathetic.
What? No.
Aw, Momo, why do you think that?
Because I don't want to be that girl. I want to be the other kind of girl. The Olivia kind. Totally cool with being single. Not even interested in a relationship right now.
Because I don't want to be a girl who needs a boyfriend, I say.
Well, of course you don't need one, Nadine says. But it's okay to want one. I shrug.
Momo, I'm serious. You get to want whatever you want.
She tugs the end of my hair.
And you know what? Love is worth wanting.
Agreed,
Cassie grins. I just didn't think it would ever happen, I blush. I guess I'm just a late bloomer. Nadine bursts out laughing. I feel the corners of my mouth twisting up.
What?
Late bloomer?
Mo, you're 17.
Exactly.
In what universe does that make you a late bloomer? She squeezes my shoulder.
There's no schedule for this stuff. I didn't have a girlfriend until the end of senior year. And your mom never dated in high school.
Really?
Really?
I pause. I don't know. Yeah, it just felt like I was waiting forever.
Oh, I know, baby. I don't mean to discount your feelings here.
She disentangles her arms and clasps them in her lap.
Yeah, the waiting sucks. Especially when you start feeling like it's never going to happen.
Exactly.
She smiles.
Have I ever talked to y'all about when I was trying to get pregnant?
I don't think so, Cassie says.
I shake my head.
Yeah, it was a long-ass journey. I mean, we tried on and off for 10 years. All kinds of doctors. Nobody knew what was up.
Are you serious? Cassie asks.
And I'm stunned. Maybe I shouldn't be. I don't know. I guess it makes sense that my moms didn't randomly decide to have another baby 16 years after the first two. But I never realized Nadine was actively trying. For 10 years. I can't wrap my head around it.
And then it just worked, you know? And I was 42. Nobody thought there was a chance in hell at this point, but there you go.
Wow, I did not know that, I say. Nadine smiles.
I know. I guess it's weird to talk about, because I never want you guys to feel like you belong to me any less than your brother. You know that's not the case, right?
I know, I say quickly.
But your mom and I always wanted 3 kids. That was our plan. And we thought we were so ahead of the game popping 2 out at once. Little did we know.
Zave was fashionably late, Cassie says.
Something like that. But you know, there's an upside here. Because when you spend so much time just intensely wanting something, and then you actually get the thing, it's magic. All of a sudden, I feel like crying. In a good way. In the best way. Because I know exactly what she means. It's butterflies and haziness and hard eyes. But underneath all that, there's this baseline of, I can't believe this. I can't believe this is me. I can't quite articulate the sweetness of that feeling. It's finding out the door you were banging on is finally unlocked. Maybe it was unlocked the whole time. 32. There's no rehearsal dinner. There's no rehearsal anything. But all the out-of-town people get here on Saturday night, and it's actually starting to feel real. Grandma Betty is at the Marriott, and my Suso grandparents are staying at the bed and breakfast up the road. I think my mom's college friends are getting in tomorrow morning. But Abby's coming tonight, with Nick, and she's staying at our house. I set up the air mattress in my room, and Cassie moves her stuff in. I don't even care that we'll basically have to sleep on top of each other. It's the first Suso slumber party in over a year. The doorbell rings just as we're putting dinner dishes away, and I catapult into the foyer. I move so quickly, I actually skid across the hardwood.
Oh my God!
Abby's in the doorway, jumping up and down.
You're here! I'm here! You're here!
She inhales deeply.
Ah, you smell like Molly!
Wait, is that...
It's a good thing!
Which makes me think of Reed and his deodorant. I shouldn't blush. I can't believe you're actually here.
I'm here! And look who I brought!
She beams, stepping back.
Molly, this is Nick. Nick, Molly.
It's funny the way some people look just like their pictures. Like Simon. But Nick is actually cuter in person. Way, way cuter. He has these magnetic brown eyes that don't entirely translate in photos.
Hey.
He stands awkwardly in the foyer with a big canvas duffel bag.
Thanks for letting me come to this.
Are you kidding? Of course.
Outside, I hear the beep of the car locking. Moments later, Isaac appears, dragging two suitcases.
Hey, Mo.
He says, practically kneeling to hug me. Isaac is 6'4".
No joke.
He makes Reed look short. It occurs to me that he's a nice height for Olivia. But no, nope, she doesn't want that. Banish the thought. Nick and Isaac take the bunk beds in Cassie's room. It's actually funny having Abby and Isaac here without their parents. Uncle Albert and Aunt Wanda are staying in Isaac's studio apartment on U Street, which is honestly a half step up from a frat house.
What's your mom think of your flip cup table? Cassie asks him.
Isaac grins.
Tablecloth and vase of flowers.
Genius.
As soon as Abby shuts my bedroom door, Cassie bursts out with it.
Molly has a... drumroll, please. Boyfriend. What?
Abby gasps.
Oh, my God. You kissed him. Really? Oh, my God.
I know, Cassie says, and she didn't even tell me. She flops backward on the air mattress. I didn't tell anyone, I say.
Except our moms.
I didn't tell them. They found out.
Oh, I'd like to know this story,
Abby says. There's not really a story. Patty heard us. Abby and Cassie burst out laughing. What? I ask. I feel myself smiling.
Heard you doing what?
Abby asks. This again.
Not that.
God. Talking. Just talking.
Sure.
Maybe kissing.
There you go,
Cassie says. She picks up a pillow, throws it at me, misses, picks it up again, and smacks me.
Pillow fight!
Abby yells, making her voice super high.
This is a fantasy, right? Should I tell Nick this is happening?
Cassie nods.
Tell him we're pouring honey on our boobs.
Abby laughs, pulling out her phone.
Wait, seriously? Are you texting him that?
Cassie clambers toward Abby, who smoothly twists away from her.
Wait, let me see. Nope.
Abby grins.
This is confidential.
My ass is confidential.
Let's hope so.
And it's funny watching them bicker. It's like falling backward through time. I feel perfectly content. I don't even want to talk. I just like being here. I text Reed. I think you're going to have to dance with me tomorrow. 3 dots.
Oh, no. I don't dance. And yet, you have no idea how clumsy I am, Molly.
I laugh. I have some idea.
My dance moves have actually killed people.
Look at this one giggling into her phone, Abby says. I look up, smiling guiltily, and I catch a sudden glimpse of myself in the mirror across the room. It's the weirdest thing. My hair is unbrushed. I'm wearing what may actually be one of Nadine's maternity shirts and pajama pants, and there's a spot of toothpaste in the corner of my mouth. But for the first time in maybe ever, I feel really beautiful. 33. I'm too excited to sleep. I keep thinking about the wedding and Reed and the centerpieces and my outfit. I'm in love with my dress. The design is so simple. Soft and blue-green, with short sleeves and a layer of tulle under the skirt. That's it. But it fits me in exactly the right way. It doesn't make me look skinny. I think it makes me look fat on purpose. I keep touching the fabric. I can't wait to get dressed. There's something in the air. I feel this buzz of anticipation. Outside my window, I see my mom's lining 2 long tables with chairs. There's definitely no tent. Maybe Nadine talked Patty out of it. But it's sunny and warm. I almost sigh with relief. My whole morning is devoted to decorations. I think I finally nailed it. Vintage coat crates for height, painted mason jars at different levels, and flowers, mostly baby's breath, but some hydrangeas. I'll stagger Olivia's painted animal figurines all around, plus family photos framed in painted wood. Then I'll drape the fabric garland over the ceremony space, kind of like a scraggly hoopah, and Isaac says he'll help me hang twinkle lights from the trees. And I actually think I might cut up my bead string, because I'm suddenly obsessed with the idea of magazine bead napkin holders. Seriously, I could do this for a living. Maybe one day I will. Though these stone-cold bridezillas can be a little challenging, I'm fielding texts from both my moms every few minutes. Sweetie, can you remind Isaac to tip the rentals guys? Momo, I need you to find the laptop charger. Mission abort. Charger has been located. The caterers just arrived. Maybe you could get them set up in the kitchen. Thanks. I mean, I'm still in pajama pants, but I guess that's almost like pants. I run down the stairs and almost bump directly into one of the caterers. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I look up, and my whole face goes warm. Julian? Oh, no way. You're Elena's friend. Molly, right? My 11th crush. Julian Portillo of the Experimental Breakfasts. And now he's a caterer. Go figure. So your moms are getting hitched, he says. Yep. This is surreal. Wow, how are you? How's Elena? Oh, she's good. I'm good. I'm at Georgetown, just finished my sophomore year, and I'm catering this summer. I love it. That's so great. He smiles, and hey, there are those dimples. Maybe I have a thing for dimples. Oh, and I should introduce you. This is Carter Addison, Julian says, touching my arm lightly. As if on cue, this lanky, curly-haired white guy sets down a covered tinfoil pan and ambles over. Hey, he says, smiling, and he's sort of cute, too. He has this big, open smile.
I'm the sous chef,
he says,
and the boyfriend. Julian grins. Carter, this is Molly. She's the daughter of the brides.
Boyfriend. I did not see that coming. Really nice to meet you, I say.
You too. And Mazel Tov.
I walk them through our kitchen and show them the appliances and my cupcakes and everything I can think of. I don't know if this is helpful.
It definitely is, Julian says. This is great.
Good. I nod. And for a minute, we all sort of stand there, smiling awkwardly. I've never really been good at forming words in the vicinity of Julian Portillo.
So I don't want to rush you or anything, Julian says, finally. But maybe you should get dressed. Don't get me wrong, I dig the plaid pants.
Oh, crap, I say.
Oh, she's blushing.
He hugs me. Julian Portillo hugs me.
Man, you're the cutest.
I catch him winking at Carter.
You know, if I'd ever liked girls, you'd have been the one, Molly.
I don't think there are words to explain how I feel.
Okay, you know the emoji that's laughing and crying all at once? It's that.
I am that. I get dressed quickly and run back downstairs, just as Mina and Olivia are arriving. They're pretty early. I actually think they carpooled. Olivia hugs me as soon as she sees me.
Congratulations!
Cassie wanders over to meet us.
So, I just had the best conversation with Grandma.
Really? She grimaces, and I laugh.
Grandma has just informed me that when a bisexual woman marries another woman, she becomes a lesbian.
Oh, no, Olivia says.
And I'm like, Grandma? Just no, no. Infinite side-eye.
Mina laughs.
She's very well-intentioned, though.
And she's not even drunk yet, says Cassie. Her eyes drift sideways, and she nudges me, grinning.
Hey, your boyfriend's here.
I blush. It's just weird. Maybe it's the fact that everyone knows. I mean, it is never-ending, this weirdness. I'll never have a handle on this.
Reed is standing near the back steps, wearing a button-down shirt.
So now I know. Reed is ridiculously cute in a button-down shirt. He smiles at me, and I smile back. And it's like someone put the world on pause. Just for a moment. I think I like not having a handle on this. It feels like 6 o'clock will never come, but it does. And all of a sudden, we're lined up beneath the garland hoopah. Cassie, Abby, and me, plus Isaac, holding Xavier. Xavier, who is wearing a tiny gray suit. He is perfect.
Welcome all,
greets my Aunt Liz. She isn't technically my aunt. She's not technically a minister either, but she got certified online.
Patty and Nadine have asked me to keep this short and sweet and relatively PG-13, which... we'll see.
Everyone laughs.
Anyway, I'm Liz, and I was Nadine's roommate at Maryland, roughly, I don't know, a billion years ago.
Nadine snorts.
So, true story. Freshman year, we get our class schedules, and Deanie is pissed because they've put her in Biology 101, which she'd already taken in high school, and this was fucking bullshit.
There's this burst of laughter from the tables, because you can totally picture Nadine saying that. I sneak a glance at Abby's parents. Uncle Albert looks stern, and Aunt Wanda is smiling brightly with raised eyebrows. Abby glances at me sideways and grins.
Anyway, she huffs off to class, muttering and raging under her breath, and then she comes back around lunchtime and I ask, "Okay, so are they going to let you transfer out? Are they going to accept your credits?" And Nadine is like, "Oh, yeah, I like that class now."
Nadine covers her face, laughing.
And I'm like, "What?" Liz continues, eyes glinting. "So this morning, you were ready to chain yourself to the door of the dean's office over this, and now you're like, oh, this class is the best? And I'm just totally baffled by it."
Liz pauses for dramatic effect.
"Until a few weeks later, Nadine introduces me to Patty Peskin, her TA.
There's clapping and whooping from the tables, and Nadine and Patty are looking at each other and giggling. There's something weird about seeing your parents so openly adoring each other. I'm not saying it's bad, just weird. For the millionth time today, my eyes find Reed. He smiles, and I smile.
"So do you, Nadine, take this woman, Patty, to be your wife, to have and to hold, to honor and cherish, in sickness and in health, as long as you both shall live?"
"I do," Nadine says. I've never seen her smile so widely.
"And do you, Patty, take this woman, Nadine, to be your wife, to have and to hold, to honor and cherish, in sickness and in health, as long as you both shall live?"
Patty sniffs.
"I do."
Warm fingers thread through mine. "Abby." I squeeze her hand tightly.
"Should we put a ring on it?"
asks Liz. I laugh. Everyone's laughing. And Patty's sobbing, which isn't surprising, but even Nadine is crying a little. That's kind of a big deal. I've only ever seen her cry once, and she was literally giving birth at the time.
So, by the power vested in me by the state of Maryland, I now pronounce you legally and awesomely married.
Then they break the glass, and everyone giggles and yells Mazel Tov, and a few people whistle. And then, well, there's a single moment in the life of parents when they get to make out in front of their kids. This is that moment. It can't be stopped. I wouldn't stop it if I could. Reed finds me straight away and hugs me.
That was really awesome.
Thanks. I lean into his chest, breathing in his deodorant. Did you cry?
Never.
His dimple flickers.
A little.
Aw. I grin up at him. He takes both my hands. And for a minute, we just stand there like that, looking at each other. He shakes his head.
Molly, you're killing me.
What? He pauses. His cheeks are pink.
You just look really, really pretty.
His voice is so soft. I feel my breath hitch. Because in all my years of watching movies, I've seen this look on a lot of boys' faces. But I've never seen someone look that way at me. So do you, I say quickly. He laughs.
Why, thank you.
Julian and Carter have set all the food out on a picnic table. Brisket and cornbread and rolls and grilled vegetables. There's the kosher stuff and vegan stuff and gluten-free stuff, all meticulously labeled. And there are stacks of those fake china plastic plates. It's definitely a self-serve kind of wedding. It's still light out, but a few people are dancing by Xavier Swing Set. There's a slow song playing, and I can't quite place the artist. It's definitely a famous British guy. Maybe Sam Smith?
Are you hungry?
Reed tugs on my hand. I guess so.
Or do you want to find Abby?
That works, too.
You are so easy to please today.
He grins at me. I know. I just feel so achingly happy. Like the happiness is bubbling over. I could do anything right now, and it would be the exact right thing. This is invincible joy. I can't ruin it. I can't even put a dent in it. We sit at the end of one of the tables, next to Abby and Nick. Look at how cute your moms are right now, Abby says. They're sitting on the back steps, holding hands and talking, totally removed from everyone for a moment. I see Olivia sneaking closer with her camera. They don't even notice her pointing, focusing, and clicking like a paparazzo. Then she walks over to Cassie and Mina on the grass, smiling as she taps through her viewer finder to show them. Cassie's beaming. For someone who thinks of herself as such a cynic, I murmur. I know. Cassie's actually the biggest mush of all of us. Pure, goopy-hearted grossness. Abby laughs. Hey, before I forget, look who's here. She lifts her chin slightly, gesturing to a point behind my back. I turn my head, and my mouth falls open. Oh my God. Abby grins. I know. Did you know she'd be here? She shakes her head. Should we go say hi? Can we leave you two dudes alone for a sec? Nick and Reed look at each other. Sure. Our boyfriends. I stand, smoothing my dress down. Abby takes my hand, and we walk across the lawn. Aunt Karen's sitting alone at a table, hands folded across her chest. She looks stiff and uncomfortable, and honestly, sort of miserable. But she's here. Holy shit. She lights up when she sees us.
Hey, babies, she says. Oh my goodness, look at you two. You look beautiful, so grown up.
She hugs us both, and we settle into seats on either side of her.
The backyard looks different. Was it landscaped?
Yeah, like 2 years ago, I say. Aunt Karen nods. So, how are the dogs? She brightens a bit.
Oh, they're good. They're real good. They're staying with my friend Madge and her husband's grilling steaks tonight. New York strips.
For the dogs? Abby asks.
Mm-hmm, they love steak.
That is really special, Abby says, cutting her eyes toward me. Aunt Karen smiles.
They're really special dogs. Abby, I was just telling your mom about my shepherd mix, Daisy, and she said,
Aunt Karen, I thought you weren't coming, I blurt. There's this beat of silence. And then finally, she says,
Well, I guess I couldn't miss it.
Does Nadine know you're here?
She purses her lips.
I assume so.
Do you want me to go get her?
Oh, no,
Aunt Karen says quickly.
It'll just be, you know, this is her night. And Patty's night,
she adds awkwardly. As soon as she says it, I realize she's never mentioned Patty by name before. Ever.
And I'm not here to complicate things, she continues. Deanie and I have a lot to talk about, obviously, and I owe her...
She trails off, shaking her head.
But not tonight. Tonight, I just wanted to be here.
Well, thanks for coming, I guess.
Is that you, Mamala?
I swivel to find Grandma Betty holding one of the picture frame centerpieces, which she sets face down on the table as she settles into the chair beside me.
Oh, my goodness. Family overload.
Hi, Grandma. I find I'm sucking in my stomach. I guess I feel self-conscious around her sometimes. For just a split second, I wish I'd worn Spanx. Have you met Aunt Karen? I ask quickly. I know you know Abby.
Of course. Lovely to see both of you again.
I tap the edge of Grandma's frame. What picture is that?
It's a very unflattering photograph of me. I want to know who picked this to be a centerpiece.
She shakes her head and smiles.
I'm lodging a formal complaint.
That kind of throws me. I didn't know old people still got self-conscious about that stuff. Now I totally want to see the picture, of course. And Abby must be thinking the exact same thing.
Betty, you have to show us. We won't tell anyone.
If you show us, I'll hide it for you, I add. Grandma grimaces, but turns the frame over in her hands. Abby gasps.
Oh my God, that's a stunning picture.
And it is. Holy shit. This photo. It's black and white, and Patty's just a baby, so it must be from the late 60s. But Grandma's the one I can't take my eyes off of. She's in her 20s, smiling gently, balancing Patty on her hip and looking straight at the camera. She looks exactly like me, except old-timey and beautiful. And she's fat. When I look up, she's gazing at me with an expression I can't quite read.
I'm hard on you, aren't I?
I blush. I don't know.
I hated being overweight. I gained 70 pounds when I was pregnant with your mother. I felt like I was living in a different person's body.
I pause. Inhale. I get that. Exhale. But I don't feel like that, you know?
I know, and that's a good thing. I'm so sorry, Mamala. I shouldn't turn my issues into your issues.
She takes my hand and squeezes it.
You are absolutely beautiful.
I feel my cheeks burn. Here's the thing. I'm used to being told I have a pretty face, or pretty hair, or pretty eyes. But it's different being called beautiful. Just beautiful, without conditions. And for some reason, it's even stranger hearing it from Grandma Betty than from Reed. It makes my eyes prickle. Grandma clears her throat.
Anyway, wasn't that just the loveliest ceremony?
It was, Abby says.
Aunt Karen shrugs.
It was nice, she says softly.
That shrug. The particular set of Aunt Karen's shoulders. It's as if that shrug contains 40 years of secrets and fighting and road trips and bunk beds. The thing is, it's exactly how Nadine shrugs. And suddenly, I can picture it. Cassie and me, 20 years from now. Married. To Mina. To Reed. Or not. Maybe we'll marry people we haven't even met yet. Maybe we'll never marry at all. We might see each other every day. We might see each other once a year. Maybe it will ebb and flow and change with the decades. Maybe we'll never pin it down.
I think every relationship is actually a million relationships. I can't decide if that's a bad thing. It's better when the sun sets. I think it's the twinkle lights. There's something magical about twinkle lights on tree branches. A few people have gone home, but even more people are dancing, and Abby and Nick are right in the middle of it. I haven't talked Reed into dancing yet. Right now, he's primarily focused on being smug about the paper pennant cake topper, which, admittedly, was his idea. Which, admittedly, turned out adorably. But now we're back at the table, and Reed's holding my hand while talking to Olivia, and Xavier's passed out in Cassie's arms. Mina's eating a cupcake, wiping her hands on a napkin between bites. But despite the movement all around us, there's this stillness in the air.
I could never actually be a wedding photographer, says Olivia.
Why not?
Too many perfect moments. I can't keep up with them.
I feel suddenly choked up.
Yeah.
Reed squeezes my hand. The song changes to something loud and fast, and I catch a glimpse of Isaac on the makeshift dance floor, spinning one of my mom's friends in circles. I think he's wearing a bunch of my magazine bead napkin holders as bracelets. Aunt Liz is perched on Zave's tire swing, gesturing emphatically, making my mom's laugh. And Abby's parents are defiantly slow dancing, despite the music. It's actually kind of sweet.
I think I'm going to snap a few more pictures, Olivia says.
Okay, Cassie and I say in unison, with perfectly matching intonation. Olivia narrows her eyes, pointing a finger at each of us.
It's like you two are twins or something.
As she walks away, she pantomimes an explosion from her head.
Mind blown.
Mina giggles, and she and Cassie exchange these smiley, soft-eyed glances. I look away quickly. Not because I'm an 11-year-old boy. Just, you know, so they can have their moment. I think this is me letting go, bit by bit. I think these are our tiny steps away from each other, making not quite identical footprints in not quite opposite directions. And it's the end of the world and the beginning of the world, and we're 17. It's an awesome thing. This is Arielle Delisle. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Upside of Unrequited by Becky Albertalli. This program was produced by John Marshall Media. Executive producer, Caitlin Gehring. Text copyright 2017 by Becky Albertalli. Production copyright 2017 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.